You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is Deanna, and our guest for the next 2 hours is Mark R. Elsas. And he has a new website that we invite you to visit, and that is LasVegasShooting.net. LasVegasShooting.net. Mark, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you once again, Deanna, for having me back, this time to talk about a very sad event that happened last Sunday evening in Las Vegas. I didn't hear the news. First of all, I'd like to send my heartfelt condolences out to the family and friends that lost their loved ones. There was 58 people that got killed, 59 if you include Stephen Craig Paddock, and 489 who were injured. I believe the last thing I saw was there are still 50 in critical condition in Las Vegas hospitals, but the vast majority of the people, some 300 or so, have been released. This is an ongoing events in this violent country that we have brought to us.
You brought something up. Violent country is absolutely correct. I'm on the receiving end of The Ugly Truth, which is just a wonderful, wonderful newsletter that Mark Glenn puts out. And he's talked a lot about this. And he introduces the fact that the United States is about killing other people. So, and we have an environment where if you turn on the television, you see cop shows, you see violence, you see movies that were blood and guts, and we live in such a violent society. And he pointed this out, and it is so true that people think that to solve problems, and of course there are other ramifications too, and other objectives too, but people assume that, oh, well, I'm going to solve this problem by using a gun. And it's not about gun control. Chicago, you cannot buy ammunition, you cannot buy guns. They have some of the strictest gun control laws in the entire country, and yet I think probably that Chicago is number one for murders in this country.
Yes, well, our founding fathers, do you know, first of all, to go back to the violence, yes, we, the people that are controlling, you know, 95%+ of the matrix, fill it with fear and violence.
Right.
And our country, as you have told me many years ago, took over pretty much, joined in with the British, and then took over being the mercenaries for the world, for the Jewish central bankers that are running this planet. And so I'm going to turn 60 years old on next January 8th, and I remember, you know, I was brought up with the TV while I was young, and it starts out with violent cartoons, extremely violent cartoons that you see at a very young age. By the time you're 18, I forget the exact numbers, but it's like tens of thousands. You see tens of thousands of murders. I bet you it's a lot more now. This is going back years. It's we're constantly in war, you know, whether it be Vietnam police action or whatever. There's just a string. It's a never ending, now since 2011, a never ending, wars that we're in. And all we see is this violent images, brought up, you know, under the guise of bringing democracy to all these countries. But nonetheless, this is ingrained in our psyche. And as you aptly said, there's Mark Glenn and many others are stating this as, you know, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and ask, well, you know, there's many reasons why this is happening, but this is on the forefront of why these events take place in this country so much more than any other country. And then you have the people that come out right away and say, you know, this is a fake event again, and there are, you know, people didn't die, and they're crisis actors, and this whole crew who, they haven't said it very much in this one, or maybe I'm just not paying any attention to them, but this one looks quite irrefutable that it actually did happen, not the way that we're being told it happened, which is where I'm going in the new article I'm still writing called Las Vegas Shooting, Cui Bono. And it's at lasvegasshooting.net. And it will be up in a few days. And it's going to be a pretty in-depth article. I like to sort of step back a little bit and not to judge. I'd like to have, you know, now 5 or 6 days has gone by, and a few more will go by before I publish it, so I get a better feel for, instead of jumping to conclusions, I can have the questions but have the answers pretty much seem correct and corroborate in different places that I find the evidence. So, and it's not adding up, but go ahead, your brother.
Well, that's something too. And I mentioned somebody emailed me and about this, and I said, speculations take minutes, hours, days. Research takes time and a great deal of effort. And there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands I don't know how many videos have been produced. There's so much speculative nonsense out there about, oh, nobody died, and this happened and that happened, that people get so full of all of these claims that they don't know what to believe. And I think that is the objective,
yes,
of a certain group of people who want to just pummel you with all of their claims so that you won't know what to believe. You will just be totally clueless as to what to believe, and you'll just throw your hands up and you won't go any further because you won't know where to go.
I absolutely concur. This is, they poison the well, muddy the waters, whatever metaphor you want to use for this, that, and they avalanche you with this kind of information. So you know, the average person will just, you know, throw their hands up and
yes,
say, I don't want to know. And, you know, I don't mean to put myself above, but someone who I come out and I've been looking at this like nonstop since I woke up Monday morning and been compiling data from what I see as quite reputable sources and people that I've known that are writers for years and years and years, and how they have seen it and what questions they're asking, and, you know. So I'm trying to get my information from, like I said, what I deem to be, reputable places and form the consensus in my own, head using all of this information that I'm gathering. And so, like I said, it's going to be another few days before I probably can get this out, because right now it's about a 15-page document or so, and I have to clean it up and I'm probably like halfway through it, so I don't know where it's going to end or what this is, but I know I can say, you know, as we get into this interview, that it is not what we're being told once again. This is I'll start off with what I uncovered right away, which what got me into this this event that took place in Las Vegas on Sunday evening. I'm a domain broker. That's my business, and I've been in the business doing it for more than 20 years now. I own thousands of domain names. And when I woke up And this is with any catastrophe over the last 20 plus years that I've been in this business. I saw what happened and I went, oh boy. And after I looked at it a little bit, I said, oh, let me put in Las Vegas. It's called Las Vegas shooting. Let me put Las Vegas shooting into my registrar and see, you know, if there are any domain names left. And so I went to my registrar, I put in LasVegasShooting.com, and the LasVegasShooting.com and .org were taken, but the net was sitting there. Normally I would have grabbed it right away, but I didn't. I just said, and I never tried to make like money off of these kind of things. So this is not about the money aspect. I abhorred that. But you have, so I then went, okay, and I sort of let it backed off, and then I said, oh, a few minutes later, I said, let me put in VegasShooting.com, and I saw the com was taken. And then I went and had some breakfast. I came, and while I was having breakfast, I thought, huh, oh, Mark, you usually take a look at, you go to something called the Whois database, which says who ascertained the domain name and when they ascertained the name. And so I when I came back to my computer, I put in, I went to a generic Whois, and I put in LasVegasShooting.com, and I found that it was registered on August, it was registered from the GoDaddy registrar, but it was registered on August 2nd, 2006. And I went, oh, that's pretty strange. I thought it would have been taken, you know, just a couple hours earlier. And the org, I put in LasVegasShooting.org, and that was yet just taken a couple of hours earlier by, I believe, somebody in Vegas. And so I went, and I saw the registrant was a very strange name. I wonder if I have it before me. Dawid Zybro from Krakow, Poland, registered that name on August 2nd, 2006. And so I went back, and I said, I wonder if it's for, you know, I found that it's for sale. But I went and said, well, was there anything that would precipitate this person to buy that name on that day? Was there a shooting a day or two or three before or whatever? Or was there a film? Is this for like a film shoot or is it for a gun range out there? I didn't find anything for this. But this person seemed to be a domain broker such as myself from Poland. And then a few minutes later, I put in VegasShooting.com into the Whois database, the generic one, and I found out that it was registered through GoDaddy, like the LasVegasShooting.com, and this one was registered by a Paul Wilson from Las Vegas, Nevada. And then I looked at the date he registered it, and it was August 2nd, 2006. And I went, oh my, and we have an impossibility here, that these two domains were registered by two different people in two different countries on the same exact day. This is next to impossible. And especially because there was nothing to precipitate this in the news that I already went back and looked at this. So I noticed also that they were updated. This is the first part of the story. They were updated. What I found, one was updated on September 14th and the other one was updated on September 15th of this year. I'll tell you, this changed as the story goes on. But I then said, oh, I have to notify the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department of this. So I called them up and I told them this and I tried to get through to the detective, I forget his name, that was in charge of this. And of course he was busy and I left a message with him. And the person that, before they patched me through to his voicemail, said, you know, the FBI has a special number for this. You should call them and a hotline for tips. And so after I left this detective at my Las Vegas that was in charge of this Las Vegas shooting, I then asked myself, do you really want to call the FBI? Because there's a problem here. And this is the very people that I don't trust. I mean, these are the people that, 95% of all of these major events that have happened over the last 12, 15 years or since 9/11 have been set up by them.
Do you really want to say set up or facilitated or covered?
I was searching for the right word, and I still can't find it, but it was, entrapment. They entrapped. That's the word. They entrap people, sort of useful idiots into doing it, their bidding for them. So I said, no, call them up. So I did. And I called them up and I spoke to an agent who would not give me his name. They asked me for my name and my number. And I said, this doesn't come up on your screen. I said, that's pretty strange. I mean, my name and number should come up and who I am right away on your screen. But okay, I'll give you my name and number, but he wouldn't give me his name and number, only his ID number, which I took. Anyway, so I told him the story and blah, 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 blah. And he was not that. It's the end of that. And then I went about my business, started looking at more stories. And then all of a sudden I said, hey, Mark, what's the matter with you? Look in the GoDaddy Who Is database. It's much more specific.
Sure.
So I did. And I put LasVegasShooting.com into the GoDaddy Who Is database, and I found that, yes, indeed, it's the same person, Dawid Zybro of Krakow, Poland, and he registered it on August 2nd, 2006, but it gave you the exact second. He registered it at 22:57:31. And that he registered it on September 14th, at 1:13:39, September 14th of this year, 2017. And so I noted it down, I wrote it down, and then I put in vegashooting.com into the GoDaddy Who Is database, and I found that, yes, indeed, it's taken by Paul Wilson of Las Vegas, Nevada, and he registered it on August 2nd, 2006, and then I went, oh my, he registered it at the exact same second as the person in Poland registered it. And then I looked at when it was last updated, and it was last updated on the same exact day, not the 2 days different, September 14th, 15th, as in the other generic database. This one was updated on September 14th at 1:13:40. So when here's the synopsis of what I just told you. LasVegasShooting.com is registered by somebody in Krakow, Poland on August 2nd, 2006. At 10:57:31, at the exact same second, somebody named Paul Wilson in Las Vegas, Nevada, also registered vegashooting.com. The very exact same second, 11 years and 2 months ago when I first stumbled upon this, 5 days ago. And they were both of these domains were last updated on September 14th, 2017, within 1 second of each other. This is so far beyond impossible that I just went, this is, they're leaving. And people who have asked me the questions, well, what do you make of it, Mark? I just put this out and it's on LasVegasShooting.net right now. I didn't make any assumptions. I just put this out because it's telling.
It's just information.
And by the way, I went and grabbed the screenshots as fast as I possibly could. Otherwise people could say, well, he's just making it up. So the screenshots are there from two different Whois databases, and it shows plain as day what I just told you. Another small strangeness is they're both registered to expire the exact same day and minute next August 2nd, 2018. You can go out 10 years and register and keep it for 10 years at domain name. So it's not strange, really, but it is – that usually
it's
people,
unusual.
It's unusual. But the first, right, it's just an added little extra unusual thing, yes. But the other two are beyond it. And so what I make of this, I know this is impossible. I know that these kind of events are almost always not what they seem, and that there's always agendas behind them. Go ahead.
I mean, there's been a lot of speculation, and somebody said, oh, this guy doesn't fit the profile. I mean, if you look at profiles, for instance, now one of the first people that they had on to talk about profiling was Mary Ellen O'Toole, and she's a former FBI profiler. We have a quick break. We'll pick this up on the other side. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Thank you. Deanna, and our guest the last 2 hours is Mark R. Elsas. His website is, well, one of the websites is LasVegasShooting.net. And I brought up the name Mary Ellen O'Toole, and you'd mentioned the FBI. And I believe that the FBI, as are other big entities, are very, very much compartmentalized. In other words, everybody, one person doesn't know what the other person is doing. And anyway, one of the first people that they interviewed on national TV was Mary Ellen O'Toole. And she was talking about the profile of an individual that would do what Paddock is accused of doing. And she wrote a perspective of it and said that they plan these things well in advance. It's not just that they just go off on it, just go off suddenly. They just snap. But they state that these are planned well in advance and that they have to be focused. They're well planned. They want to not have blurry thinking. And oftentimes, if they are on medication, they go off of their medication prior to the event, which often leads to a clean toxicology test. Which brings up another issue, is that Paddock was on Valium. Now, yes. Now Valium has some side effects. The effect between 1 and 10% of the people that take it. And according to Dr. Peter Bragan, who I trust immensely for his views, I've got all of his books, I've read them all, and he says that he received an unconfirmed report that he was prescribed antidepressants, which are commonly given along with benzos. Now, a benzo would be the Valium. And that one person could take a benzo diazepine and it would be fine. But somebody else might have some severe reactions. And some of those reactions are aggression, violence, and all kinds of things that would lead a person to do what he is reputedly reported as doing. So I think you have to consider all of the possibilities, whether he did it or whether there were multiple shooters. I don't know because I wasn't there and I really haven't done any research. I've looked at a number of videos and some of them are just plain garbage.
Yeah, there's people that like to get their 15 minutes and put out, you know, jump to conclusions once again, which is, you know, it's all right to try to put out intelligent questions quickly, but not sensationalism type of questions. I guess that's the differential that I try to espouse and put into what I'm doing right now while writing this. And yeah, that I've just actually completed the section on his being prescribed these Valiums and what the possibility that they could do to a person. I was looking up if he had any psychiatric people helping him or had he, and I can't find any, or I haven't found any yet about that.
You mean the doctor that prescribed the Valium?
No. Was he seeing a psychologist or psychiatrist?
You don't have, anybody can.
Yes, I understand. I understand. Yeah. But beside that, right. Beside the doctor that prescribed him, I believe on June 1st, the Valium, one a day, was he also under care or was he ever under care? Because, this man seems to be quite an intelligent man. A neighbor called up Michael Savage's show that I listened to. Well, I don't listen to his show at all. Don't care for the man, but and of course in this little part of this video that I just saw earlier today, Savage of course has to say Nazi right away. which is exactly why I don't ever listen to the man. But nonetheless, he had somebody from that was a neighbor of Paddock. I'll pick this up on the other side.
Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. This is Deanna, and Mark R. Elsis is our guest. His website is LasVegasShooting.net, and we were talking about, well, we brought up the drugs and who fits the profile. There is no real profile written in stone, but certainly there are a lot of questions. And he used reportedly used the AR, the AR-15, which is a very small gun. Kids can use it. It's very lightweight. You can take it apart in minutes. Build one in, what Mark Glenn say, 45 minutes. So it's a relatively easy gun if you wanted to haul it in. But apparently there were several found in the room. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get to that because I went into this in depth already, but
yes.
In the Savages program, you had somebody call up and said he was a neighbor, in Mesquite, Nevada, and he was an ex-Marine and he was a level-headed guy, and he said, oh yeah, I knew him. I mean, I used to go after work with the person I work with to a bar, and this, you know, have a couple of beers, and this guy was there playing, you know, having a couple of beers or drinks and playing video poker with games. And I talked to him a few times and, he was a nice, ordinary guy. He was a Trump supporter. And he went in depth in saying this in all the different things. It's also his brother came out and, was saying that he can't understand this. I mean, this is completely antithetical of who he thinks his brother is. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, it was recently in 2014, I believe, that he moved from Melbourne, Florida to out west to this place in Mesquite, Nevada. Mm-hmm. And they drove cross country. And he didn't mention anything and everything was fine. And he had no inkling of this kind of
problems, right?
So this is, so it's, there, it seems, and also his girlfriend said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that we know closest to him now seem to be saying this is not who this man was. Or who they thought this man was. Either he was extraordinarily good in compartmentalizing himself, which can be, but with, you usually somehow give hints of things even if you don't know it or if you're trying to, you can't lie that good.
Right.
Nobody can, especially to, you know, like going across country on a trip that you're with somebody for, you know, many, many days or his girlfriend, his live-in girlfriend. Something comes out. There's usually some kind of, you know, you miss something and it sends up a red flag or whatever. So this is just a strange, part of it that why him? Why would he do this? This guy supposedly is, worth, you know, a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He owns quite a bit of real estate. He on one of his houses, I just read, put down in this piece. What does he do? He gambles. He gambles like $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's created systems to do it. Algorithm systems to work by and to gamble. And, you know, we know his background and I have a big section on who he is, what we know of him, which is, that what he worked for is, the United States. He was a United States Postal. He then worked for the IRS. He then worked for Lockheed Martin. So it's, and then he got into real estate. And he moved all over the country. He moved like, I saw one place, I think 27 different times in his life, which is, more than normal. I found another thing very strange. He had real estate where he lived in Mesquite, Nevada and Mesquite, Texas, which I was like,
it is strange.
Yeah. I just little red flags go up and say, what's that about? He likes mesquite or something, whatever.
Yes.
So it's just, it's, so I was digging, you know, as much as I could into who this man is and why he would do this. What is the motive? There just doesn't yet to me, doesn't seem to be any clear cut motive for him doing such a horrific act of violence.
Mm-hmm.
To jump around, which I always do in these kind of things, but bringing up 23 weapons to his room.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought up the AR-15. Now, I'm not a gun person at all, or weapons person at all, but I doubled down on my research on this before I wrote. And you have, the AR-15, it's not the, if you wanted to do this, so it's my number four right now. What weapon or weapons was Stephen Craig Paddock allegedly using? And you have the Colt AR-15 is a lightweight magazine-fed gas-operated semi-automatic rifle. It has an effective range, this is the important thing, of 600 yards. An AK-47 has an effective range of only 380 yards.
That just doesn't seem to make sense.
Right. Now, the people were at least around 400 or more yards away from where he was shooting. So the velocity of the bullets that would be fired out of an AK-47, that's, you're out of the range now.
Right.
And so why would he even have that kind of a rifle? I mean, this is elementary. And if somebody's planning something, you're not going to take up a weapon that is not going to do the job. And it's so over the top bringing up 23 different weapons. Look, you need, as far as what I've deciphered so far, you would need, and a lot, the same thing. Well, not that what I was about to say, that you only need two weapons. And they would be what is called an M240 Bravo or an M240B. It's a machine gun. It's a 7.62 millimeter machine gun that is used by the Army. It has an effective firing range of 875 yards, which with a maximum of over 4,000 yards. From the sounds from people that have been in the military or in the weapons industry, time and time and time again, I'm hearing the same thing that, from the sound of it, it's a belt driven, gas powered, that it has to be much more powerful than an AR-15 or AK-57. And the one that fits the bill, it very much looks like, is this M240B.
And you can't just go to the store and buy one.
I don't think you can buy these, no, because they're fully automatic and they fire, this has, I think, the M240B has a rate of fire between 650 and 950 rounds per minute. You only need two of these. What I'm trying to say is the 23 thing is so over the top and it's so stupid because why would you, you're going to bring up, you know, how many times did he have to go up and down?
Right.
To bring in 23 weapons, and for what reason? By the way, another thing that I haven't written down yet, but I have it in my notes, is that one of the pictures they show you of him with a little tripod, an AR-15, I think, his leg is underneath it. He's already dead, but his leg is underneath the gun. And I was like, well, how do you kill yourself and your leg falls underneath the gun?
Right.
I just found it sort of strange. I found a bunch of things in different videos that people didn't catch yet. interesting. Sort of like there's one video that's shot from a concert goer, and it's zooming all around, but I stopped it in certain frames, and when you're hearing the bullets come flying about, you don't see any. He's supposedly on the 32nd floor in a suite, 134, 135, two adjoining rooms into this big suite. He smashed out these two windows in a mandolin raid.
Reportedly, right. Now, somebody said that if you break a window, that the hotels here have sensors. That is not true. They only have sensors in other countries because those sensors are very expensive. And that American hotel owners have not put those in. So it is possible to break a window. But did he?
The thing that I was trying to bring up is that when I saw this one video, and this is just, you know, I don't see muzzle flashing out of that window. When the bullets are being shot. Now this goes along with a bunch of other things, but this is what I saw. Nobody else has evidently seen this yet, or from what I've seen. Maybe, I'm sure that other people had to gather what I saw, but I stopped the video many different times when the sounds of and he could have had a suppressor on it. Yes, okay. But it doesn't even look like, by the way, that the windows were broke yet. Up on the 32nd floor, and there is no flashing of multiple gunfire. I mean, you're firing 6 to 12 times per second, and you're going to see this now. There's also other videos of a few of them showing what looks like muzzle fire coming out of the 12th floor. And this is, now I don't know exactly where, blah, 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 but you're seeing flashes with the sounds that occur from them. These flashes. And I haven't seen like a broken window or anything on the 12th or 13th floor where these flashes are coming from. People first were saying it's the fourth floor, it's not. But nonetheless, is it somewhere in there or? If you're going to put this kind of if this isn't a black op operation, which it very much seems like it is to me right now, then, I mean, because of just a preponderance of the evidence, especially what I just, but guys are bringing up and that stuff, you only need two of these M240Bs. That's it. With a bunch of bullets, a bunch of, anyway. So you have, you also, by the way, have the most damning evidence, which is the woman taxi driver that was there that shot, and when she was 58-year-old Las Vegas cab driver Corinna Longden, and I had the link there. It's like an 18 minute 39 second video, but it's in the first few minutes. She's at the Mandolin Bay and you hear, it's not so much what you see. It's what you hear in her video and you hear, gunfire, automatic gun, weapon. And then you hear a totally different automatic weapon being fired and she hasn't moved. This is the most damning evidence that there is, as far as I'm concerned right now. This is definitely two different positions. So it's and which, you know, like I was jumping around, I was about to bring up, you would want to be firing from two or three different locations if this was an operation that was not what it seems, which is what it seems to me right now. Now, it's just, did they just kill this guy? Also, you know, here we go again, jumping around like I always do. You know, they first said it happened at 10:08. Now everybody's saying 10:05. They also didn't break down the room to, if it was 10:05, they didn't break into the room for 75 minutes.
Whoa.
they knew where the room was. They knew where the room was by 10:13 because a security guard was outside the room and he got shot in the leg through the door. Because the guy had the serving cart out there with one or two video feeds coming in to see who's in the hallway when they were going to come to get him. So he shot supposedly once again, he shot through and he hit the security guard and the cops were already around, I think the floor under it or something. And so the cops knew at like 10:18. It's like 62 minutes time, but from the time they knew where he was till the time the SWAT team broke down his door, it was 62 minutes. Now supposedly he started shooting at 10:05 now. It was first 10:08, but now it's 10:05 and it lasted around 10 minutes, the 10:15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is where, when he supposedly around that time, 10:15, 10:16, 10:17, 10:18, he shot the security guard outside of his door. And the cops then found out at around 10:18 that was where he was. Now the shooting stopped by then, supposedly once
well,
again.
Then, yep. I just, the whole 32 floors is a problem for me with.
Why is that? It should be,
Was he trying to, create a situation where it was like shooting fish in a barrel kind of a thing?
Which, by the way, let me interject here, which is real interesting because when the concert, this was a country music concert. Now, who goes to country music concerts?
Nobody that I know.
Well,
I wouldn't go. Anything that I would do, actually. Do you go to country music concerts?
I've never been very much of a country music fan.
No, I've never been to. I went to see Chicago once.
Chicago.
23 years ago.
Yeah.
23 years ago. Okay, I'm not a.
Yeah.
I'm a Rachmaninoff person.
There you go. What I was trying to bring up is it's mostly conservative Republicans. The preponderance of the people there were definitely more Republican than Democrat. That's what country people are. So is that part of this mix? Was this done on purpose for this reason into a country instead of into like a, you know, whatever, another kind of concert which would bring more liberal Democratic people?
Well, the outfit that put on this concert is the very same people that put on the concert in Manchester, England. So I think that you would have to view that and say, well, they're two different kinds of venues. We'll be back in 3 minutes, so. Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest the last 2 hours is Mark R. Elsis. That's E-L-S-I-S. And the website of interest is LasVegasShooting.net. And we were talking about a location. And I mentioned that the same people that put on the Manchester event, or the event in Manchester, England, are the same people that put on the concert here. I don't think that it's has to do with the people, the type of people, whether it's Republicans, Democrats, or whatever. I think it's just public executions. They don't care who they kill. Just like 9/11, the World Trade Center was a transportation hub. They don't care who they kill. They're just going to kill people. And
this is true. I believe this. But nonetheless, it's known as country music fans are I'm not having a problem with that word.
Predominantly.
Thank you. Republican. I just point that out. I'm not saying it's a big thing. It is a fact. It's like a fact.
Sure.
So it's also, you know, people brought up that, and you see in videos that when and it was the last act of this 3-day festival, and you have, when the performer finally notices that, oh my God, there's automatic gunfire going on, and it takes them. The musicians run off the stage, and the house lights come up.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, I saw that too.
This is, it's,
what's
sort
that all
of,
about?
A big mistake?
Or did they want to protect the artist or whatever?
I don't know. It's just, it's very strange. And the people supposedly had, a lot of trouble getting out because of exits. And you know, you have 22,000 people supposedly there at this time. So you have, a lot of mass hysteria. And, you know, I just want to get back for 1 second to the 62 minutes from the time they knew where
yes.
he was. Where he was to the time the SWAT team comes and breaks his door down. This is, you brought up 9/11 and during the break I was thinking it's like 9/11 in a way to me. It's just, it's inexplicable. How do you have somebody that's doing this, and you know at 10:18, okay, that SWAT team, I mean, this guy's been shooting since 10:05, that's 13 minutes already, that SWAT team, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Aren't they trained to go and to respond to this kind of situation as quickly as humanly possible?
Right.
And this was.
And certainly there were security guards at the festival. That would be a given. Aren't there security guards and.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And police, of course. Yes. Yeah.
And also EMTs. Would be there. Anytime you have a big crowd, you have to have somebody that is there, in case somebody passes out or gets sick or, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. I mean, there's security. There's, probably, a couple of different, with that kind of a size of it, like a doctor on scene or a nurse or two nurses or something like that. Yes. Of course.
So who supplied those people? Live Nation?
I don't know. I haven't gone there. So.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something to check out. Who supplied these people? Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Forgot that I muted myself. Anyway, our guests the last 2 hours, I didn't say anything really important. but our guest the last 2 hours is Mark R. Elsis, and he has a website, LasVegasShooting.net. And we were talking, and I've been reading the comments in the chat room and looking at holidays that fell right around that time and
I wanted to add something that when I first started this an hour ago, after I found out it was the same day and the same second that both these domains were registered, 11 years and 2 months before, and they were updated within 1 second of each other 18 days before this, I then called up the Las Vegas Police Department again, mm-hmm. and they didn't want to talk with me. I said, please, I want to, and then I called up the FBI again to tell them it's not just the same day, it's the same second, and they were updated within 1 second of each other and blah, blah, blah. And so, and I finally got through to the Las Vegas Police Department. I left the same detective another message. And what I'm trying to say here is, I called up both of them, the FBI twice and Las Vegas two or three different times, I think. Anyway, they have not got back to me. So I've pointed out an unbelievable anomaly. And now it's 5 days after, 5+ days after me telling them this, and nobody has seen, you know, nobody's followed up. I find that sort of interesting, not surprising, but.
Well, maybe they just had so many phone calls. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yes, I know, right. Yes, I just find it. Yes, if somebody told me that, I would say I would have somebody track that down to confirm it. And if it was confirmed, then what does that mean? It has to mean something. That's for sure. There's something going on. That said, who is this guy? Once again, you have the mainstream media projecting as the lone wolf. And this was the narrative for the first three and a half days until Clark County Sheriff Lombardo came out, and he said, "You've got them." He was asked by a reporter if he thought Paddock had carried out the attacks alone, and this is in quotes: "You've got to make the assumption he had to have some help at some point." Close quote. Then he went on, quote, "Maybe he's a super guy. Maybe he was working out all of this on his own, but it would be hard for me to believe that," close quote. And so you have now the head police officer in that county now saying that perhaps it wasn't a lone wolf pulling this off. I don't see this being followed up with any other law enforcement. But I do find it interesting that the top cop in that county where Las Vegas is saying this, and sort of letting the cat out of the bag. I don't know if it's a limited hangout because everybody's already onto this, that there had to be multiple shooters or what. He seemed genuine when he said this. But it's just another. You know, he also said there was no suicide note had been discovered. There, when asked if it was planned, he was asked if he saw evidence that Paddock had planned an escape after the attack. He said yes, and he was asked what was it. He says, "I can't tell you," but no suicide note was left. It appeared that the suspect may have wanted to survive the attack and escape authorities, he said, in quotes. And he said also that that Paddock appeared to be living a secret life and had spent decades acquiring ammunition, weapons, in quotes, and this was meticulously planned, this attack. So you have also the amount of spent shells in the when you see the photographs of his room and with a couple of rifles there and the spent shells in the magazines and such. If you just killed 58 people and wounded 489 people, and you've been shooting not nonstop for 10 minutes, but nearly, you're going to spend I would say a couple of thousand spent shells in that room, and there are at all. So it's just another little thing, but yet it's I'm waiting for the coroner, the medical examiner for Clark County, to come out and say different things. And I know that politically this is highly unlikely that he's already going to say what most likely what has to be said. I mean, my first thing was, Did Paddock actually commit suicide, or was he offed to make it look like he did it? And then this is the whole 62-minute wait between a SWAT team getting in there. It leads ones to the assumption of that this is how, if this thing is a black op, which it very much looks like, then you kill the person. And that's why I said about his leg underneath the gun. That's impossible.
Yes.
Or that's too impossible. So one, I see these, all these little red flags, and it starts adding up for me. And all of this stuff, it's just like, so was he killed? Or, you know, was he killed or did he commit suicide? Now, will the coroner come out and say this? Or will the coroner come out and say what types of bullets were actually used? Not the .223 rounds of an AR-15, but a 7.62 of an M240B. All of this kind of forensics that I haven't seen any answers to yet, and so it's sort of like, and it's hard to get the real truth of this till you get more of these officials coming out and saying what it was, and then getting people maybe on the inside that leak information. Of other that it, maybe it wasn't that. And so this takes weeks or months or sometimes years for this kind of for more pieces of this jigsaw puzzle to be put in place. So I'm just, you know, this is like whatever, a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and I'm looking right now at, you know, 100, 200 pieces and of this in all different aspects and little things I try to look for. Like I said, like the leg under the gun. And how does that happen if the guy offs himself?
Sure.
it doesn't. Or the flashing of the muzzle from the 32nd floor when you don't see, you're hearing the bullets, but you don't see the flashing from that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just, that doesn't happen. Or like I said, the cab driver woman, that's the best one. The sound, it's completely different sound, from the distance of the automatic fire. Completely different sound. So, and matter of fact, people are already calling that like the Zapruder film of this, of this event, which to me, it's, as soon as I saw it, I went, oh my. That's pretty cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sound is...
Of course, there are questions about the Zapruder film, too.
Oh, of course. Yes. Well, that's a whole other can of worms.
Right.
Everything...
Literally.
Everything with the Kennedy assassination was, muddying the water so we wouldn't see our dear friends Israel with the motive and everything else but that. But, you know, and of course, Abraham Zapruder himself was a male Jew, 1 in 1,000 chance, which we've already talked about at length. But nonetheless, it's just that I would like, is there any other, first of all, here's another thing that, this place, the Menin Bay Hotel and Casino, it has to have hundreds of video cameras?
Oh, absolutely. Of course it would have.
Okay, well, let me see this guy coming up with his suitcases with the 23 firearms in them.
Well, yes, 23. That would be a lot. But... if you brought it up in pieces, or if you got one of those carts with a bunch of suitcases on it, he checked in when, the 28th, so.
Yeah, but he checked in the 28th, but I've seen reports that he didn't get into that room until the night before.
Oh.
Yes. Yep. And another thing, he tried, a week before, I can't remember off the top of my head, that he tried to hit another concert, a Life is Beautiful concert. I can't remember the time frame before, but
who would attend that concert?
I don't know. I didn't track that down. I haven't looked into this area yet, except for what I'm telling you is that he tried to go to another hotel, which I forget that tried to get a position in that hotel to shoot upon that concert, supposedly. And he couldn't get a room that had the view to shoot down on that concert. So he had to wait and specifically asked the Mandalay Bay for the room that he got. Not the exact room on the 32nd floor, but facing South Las Vegas Boulevard. So then this is supposedly, once again, some of them are people that worked at the hotel that don't want their names put out. So it's sort of a little murky, but this is what's been reported. And it's, I tried to decipher, like I said, you know, as best I can, what the evidence is. And it's, there's a lot of this stuff going on. And it's like it's a 1,000-piece puzzle that I'm trying to put together and as quickly as possible, but with due diligence as best as possible to put something out. And, you know, I'm going to be wrong on things. That's
now,
for sure. Go ahead.
Under whose jurisdiction is the investigation with?
Oh, that's why when I called up the first time I called up Las Vegas homicide, I found their homicide number and there was no answer.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that. So I went, wait a second. This was the first call I made when I discovered that both these domains were taken on the same day, 11 years and 2 months before. I called up the homicide, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police, and there was no answer. I said, you got to be kidding with me. That this is the most important day that these people have ever had, and they don't have, for the homicide division, and they don't have people answering the phones? Come on. This is, I found it laughable.
Mm-hmm.
In a very morbid way, but just...
They were very busy doing interviews. They were doing interviews, saying, let us do our job.
Yes, and they just couldn't get some kind of a secretary.
They didn't have a secretary.
Right, no secretaries. Exactly, on the day you want every lead you can possibly get, of course. This goes along with, but I was trying to think of something else and I lost my train of thought where it's going with that, but it's, it just went bye-bye. You have motives now. You have, the knee-jerk motives that have come out, of course, is that, and you had, about the repealing of the Second Amendment. And you have, it was in an op-ed, I believe it was yesterday's op-ed in the New York Times. And it actually, the op-ed name was Repeal the Second Amendment. And you have other ones saying Australia's lesson on gun control. Australia had the Port Arthur massacre on April 28, 1996, which was their reason for taking the Australians' guns away. And so you have these stories all over with Washington Post, New York Times, the normal people that are going to be putting out, it's time to, I couldn't believe the New York Times on that repeal the Second Amendment. I mean, there's no ambiguity about it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not like whatever. And let us once again, our founding fathers put the Second Amendment number two on purpose, and it was not for deer hunting. It was to protect us against the tyranny of our government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, back then it was my musket, rifle against your musket rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that anymore. But nonetheless, you see in that once you have that deterrent taken away from any country that's had it taken away, or as you brought up so aptly in the beginning of Chicago, who has the guns then? Right.
Yeah, the people that use them on each other and
innocent people. Right. And so you don't have the person that has the concealed weapon permit that when there is a shooting and they can come out and take the person out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you have only the bad guys and police with weapons at that point. And so you have no way of defending yourself. You're at the mercy of the bad guys. And so this is why our founding fathers put this number two in the Bill of Rights. It's that important. Go ahead.
Of course the media and the left and other certain groups of people have always wanted to get rid of guns. Always. Always.
Exactly.
And we have to recognize who controls the media. So that's what we're going to be hearing a lot about. And who controls Congress? Whose allegiance do they have?
Yes, who controls 95% of the matrix, as I say?
Sure.
They control everything. They control in every aspect of every bit of life, including every vice that humanity has. They control. And this is what people, are still asking these, to me, sort of stupid questions. I mean, I said, in the beginning of this, I wrote a beginning last night, like a page and a half, and I say, most enlightened souls are well aware that the mainstream media have long ago stopped telling the truth. I have believed for decades now that the media have always lied about anything of importance as far back as one may want to go in our history. And I say the following list are the biggest and best whoppers to try and fool us since 1898. And I give a whole paragraph, from the Remember the Maine all the way up to to Syria used chemical weapons on their own people of a couple of years ago and everyone in between. And every one of these has an agenda. Everyone. And so the media, this is nothing new. This is not, this is not like it started with JFK or whatever. This has been going on forever. As soon as, when they got control of the media, and the media was always terribly before that. You take a look at I remember the election of 1800 between Adams and Jefferson. It was like a free for all. Unbelievable in the media. But as we know now, going back in history, these people had control even back then. of media, they realized, you know, that way of telling people what to think, that social engineering it is what it is. And I come out in the beginning page and say, qui bono.
Right.
Many powerful interests do, and they are successfully learning to do better. Their Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution has nearly been perfected. There's an ever-increasing Orwellian security police state pushing their never-ending loss of our freedoms.
Globalism. Right. And in the first hour, we talked about the ports and certain places that they would take over. And there's so many things involved in this whole thing.
Yeah, I say the traitors and misguided fools who follow them, wanting to repeal our Second Amendment.
Right.
The disgusting parasites who control 95% of the matrix and are constant and constantly promote fear and violence. The corporations who want to make money by installing more and more invasive surveillance devices.
Right.
The politicians who, of course, want to keep us safe. And their jobs, yes, tongue in cheek. And finally, the new fast and growing lucrative business niche of mass murder capitalism, which is what I came up with this, out of what was formerly known as disaster capitalism.
Yeah, how does that work?
I came up with this new saying last night, and I was like rather proud of myself.
Okay, then, tell us about it.
Then I put a quote underneath that of from Rahm Emanuel.
Yes, I love that quote.
If people don't know who Rahm Emanuel is, he was the chief of staff to Barack Obama, and
right.
Now mayor of Chicago, and the son of a terrorist,
right.
Bomber in Israel.
Who bombed the hotel. Okay,
yep,
we'll get back. All right, welcome back. Our guest is Mark R. Elsas, and let me just scroll up to the top, LasVegasShooting.net, LasVegasShooting.net, and you brought up Rahm Emanuel, and...
It used to be a dual citizen, went and fought with the IDF. I'm not sure about that, but it probably is. I've looked into it just recently, and people are saying now he isn't, but whatever. His father Benjamin was specialized in terrorist bombings of buses carrying British troops and police during the...
And his brother...
Is a major player.
Emanuel helped with the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and believes that nobody should live beyond the age of 75.
Yeah, I believe one of his brothers also is a major player out in Hollywood.
Yes.
This may be the same.
Gosh, yes. I thought the Muslims ran Hollywood.
Yes.
Have I been misled?
They are the bad people in all the films, yes.
No, it's the Nazis, those dirty Nazis.
Oh, did they ever call themselves that?
Never.
I never heard them call themselves that. Where did that name derive from? Let us look into the derivation.
Yes.
Couldn't imagine where that began. Anyway, but Rahm Emanuel has a quote about this new little idiom that I came up with, mass murder capitalism, a play on disaster capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And Rahm Emanuel says, quote, "You never let a serious crisis go to waste." And what I mean by that it's an opportunity to do things you think you could not do before, close quote.
Mm-hmm.
And so that says it all, because these people, this is exactly what is, and it's happening. So I say my next paragraph, it's after that, it says, "Welcome to the beginning of this socially engineered, incrementally adopted, minority report technological future the owners want you to be their slave in." And I go on from that. And there is I stumbled upon, I'm just about to write this, I haven't finished this part of it yet, but there's a video that I had at the top, now I moved it down into this section, and I might move it around, but there's a video called Eerie Predictions in Vegas, Cui Bono, and it's 16 minutes and 25 seconds long. I would suggest people, this is an excellent video overview of what is happening. I'll give a brief overview of the surveillance state that is taking place, brought to you with help of Michael Chertoff's group, the Chertoff group. His mother was working with the Mossad, I believe, right? Oh, yes. And, a renewed push for gun control is to be expected after an event like this. But the case of Las Vegas, there appears to be another major agenda already in play. This time the emphasis is on increasing security in public places, including the introduction of metal detectors and body scanners in places where the American public would not have previously tolerated. The very day after the shooting, Bloomberg News reported that the metal detection was already being used at other hotels in Las Vegas. At first glance, this may seem reasonable and rather innocuous. However, there is an entire backstory to this which isn't being publicized. The story involves Michael Chertoff, former Secretary of Homeland Security, and the company, the Chertoff Group, which is the, in quotes, premier global security advisors from focused exclusively on security and risk management sector. And so you already have like places like Wynn Resort, Steve Wynn, which is a major player around Vegas, they right away, Monday afternoon, guards scanned visitors with metal detector wands and inspected their bags, creating a 10-minute wait to get inside. The new security protocol put in place after Sunday's mass shooting nearby is likely to become the norm on the Strip and possibly beyond. You have, by the way, the CEO of the Chertoff Group, I don't have his name in front of me, he was on as fast as possible. He's probably on, you know, Monday morning on these shows pushing very, very well, nice. It's part of in this video, very nicely, you know, sort of suggesting that we should be doing this. it's so over the top. I mean, it when you see, you know, I step back and look at what these people say and how they say it, and you see, you know, and then you have to figure out, well, do they have an ulterior motive? And well, of course they do. This guy is pushing, and we're talking about, you know, tens of billions of dollars worth of business here.
Yes. Alrighty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest is, excuse me, is Mark R. Elsis. And the website is lasvegasshooting.net. Oh, we have a caller. Should we take a call?
Sure.
Mike in Maryland.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, welcome.
Hey, thanks. Great show today. Both guests are really fantastic. Nothing about this Vegas shooting passes the smell test. It's obvious. It's a, to me at least, it's a false flag. And, Paddock is a patsy of some kind. And,
the dead kind.
Yeah, the dead kind. But, and he really did a good analysis of that staged picture. I mean, the doggone room should be ankle deep in shell casings, for God's sake.
That's what I brought up. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
But I want to bring to your attention, both of y'all and the listeners and the people in the chat room, I'll post it on the chat here in a minute or two. But it's on YouTube still. And the title of it is simply, Is This Another Shooter Dressed as Security or Just Security? It's only 27 seconds a video, and it appears as if there's a security guy wearing a yellow vest, and it looks like he's crouching down in a firing position, firing a machine gun into the crowd, right in the midst of the crowd. And that's the only way I can interpret it. Now, it could be wrong, it could be something else, but it looks very suspicious.
Where is he firing, Mike? Mike, where is this video? Where is the position, the location of the firing?
Well, you can see the Mandalay Hotel in the upper right-hand corner, and the crowd is between the supposed shooter and the Mandalay Hotel. You can see it on the right. and it looks like the crowd is moving away from them, and you can hear machine gun fire. And I'm having trouble with my internet connection here lately, and it just went out on me just 10 seconds ago. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reboot my computer and put it on the chat room, but you can find it easily enough. And the title of the YouTube video is This Another Shooter Dressed as Security or Just Security? And it looks very suspicious. And
Well, Mike, go ahead and post that in the chat room if you would. That'd be great.
Okay, let me reboot my computer because I just lost the internet. Sometimes I get to reboot it. I've been having trouble lately.
Okay.
So, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention in case I don't get back on the internet before the show's over. Just go to YouTube and look for. Is this another?
There'll be people in the chat room. Go ahead and post it. People stay in there for a while.
All right, give me a few minutes, and y'all keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, you have. Another thing that came out, which is real interesting, that there was a Reuters report from October 2nd. Islamic State has claimed responsibility for a shooting that killed 50 people wounded.
Let's get smart people to hate the Muslims, right?
Well, I see this is you have to put this out, and who puts this out right away? Who?
Right. The media.
Yes. Yes, it's right. It's the wire service. And it's like, you know, this guy.
Who owns the wire service?
Right, he converted it. The Las Vegas attacker converted to Islam a few months ago. Blah, 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 said.
Right. Sure.
It's like on cue is what I'm to say. It is. Matter of fact, what I'm trying to say is you see it in reverse, and who put this out? And for what reasons? And it's quite self-evident that it's for someone the exact opposite of who it is. So anyway, as you were alluding to. So it's, you know, there was another thing that was, I found, many things, but here's one that is right now number 17. It'll probably change, but why did mainstream, media news reports say that rock and roll icon Tom Petty died when he didn't die yet? Okay, now, the last time I know of somebody like that was famous that this happened to was James Brady on March 30th, 1981 during the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan in Washington, D.C. And Brady got shot in the head. The news reports were that he died, but he didn't die. And this, I don't know if any others in the interceding 36 years since then, till October 2nd, when I hear that one of the biggest names in rock and roll, and I'm a Tom Petty fan myself. I think his music was extraordinarily good for rock and roll. And you have him being put out, leaked out, that he's dead. And yeah, he died later. It was confirmed. But why would they put it, you know, why would that come out? This doesn't happen. It's not a mistake. That it's not a coincidence that somehow this news was put out. I don't know for what reason, to blunt whatever was happening, whatever, to distract X amount of people to go and mourn for Tom Petty, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. All I know is that it has, as far as I know, it hasn't happened in 36 years. Something like that.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, well, he was a big time rocker, Tom Petty. And he was rather good in my, so, and yeah, he started and he had matter of fact, he was, on his 40th, anniversary concert. He just finished his last concert in LA where he died. So you have that. Then you have, this other thing, which is real interesting. Who is Stephen Craig Paddock's father? This guy, Benjamin Hoskins Paddock. And his father, was a bank robber. like a sociopath who was on, and then an escape from prison. and then was living on the lam for like eight years before they got him again, between 69 and 77. He supposedly tried to, he was on the 10 most wanted list. He tried to run over an FBI agent, and he got caught again with, I forget what it was, like, what is this? In 1987, he was again arrested and charged with penalties amounting to $623,000 for racketeering. But he didn't seem, the interesting thing, and I haven't dug all the way into this yet, but I will, is that he was on the lam and he evaded police for 8 years, the FBI.
Paddock never even really knew his father because wasn't around.
Right, exactly. He was raised by his mother and with, I believe, three brothers. It's sort of interesting that what somebody was trying to bring up is that when he did get caught again, he didn't get like sentenced to life in prison, as you would think. An escapist bank robber that tried to run down an FBI agent and then extorted, you know, racketeered $623,000. You would just think, you know, let's put this guy away. And that didn't seem to occur. Now, is there a reason for that? And this writer, I believe it was Michael Hoffman, I believe.
All right.
Who brought up the association with, he didn't name the name, but it was Woody Harrelson.
Which is very interesting.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson's father in the JFK circles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a likelihood, you know, a lot of people are saying, I don't know for sure. I've looked into this and I still don't know for sure, so I can't say it, you know, 100%, but that his father was one of the mechanics in one of the teams that was shooting at Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And his father was a mechanic and an assassin, but that's beside the point. You have these kind of
things.
He did
well in Hollywood.
Yeah, Woody did excellent, right?
It's good to have those connections, I guess.
Well, it might be, which goes along to the whole thing, who owns Hollywood, who killed John F. Kennedy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the association which is trying to put forth. So you have just all of these, and another friend in New York, and I haven't tracked this down yet, but it's a rather responsible source that I got this from, but I haven't tracked it down or got, you know, triple redundancies on this, but that supposedly Antifada responsible for Las Vegas mass shooting. Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas shooter, was an Antifa member who carried out the worst mass shooting in American history in order to create further division in American society, push the country towards civil war, and further the agenda of the elites, according to new information being suppressed by mainstream media. An official Antifa Facebook account in Antifa Melbourne, Australia, uploaded a post to Facebook congratulating Stephen Paddock and the Las Vegas Antifa chapter on the carnage and bloodshed, stating, in quote, one of our comrades from our Las Vegas branch has made these fascist Trump supporters dogs pay. So I, you know, like I said, this is only from one source, even though the sources are rather good. I haven't tracked that down to make sure that is the case. If it is the case, well, that's rather strange, which goes back to what I was saying earlier about most country music fans, I would easily say are Republican. And so maybe there was an extra little thing to it. Who knows? But you have, and the way they got him supposedly was not the broken windows, as you were saying, by the way, earlier in the, with the Europeans had it, we don't have it, but come through a triggered smoke alarm because of all of the rapid fire of the gun put out so much heat and smoke that's supposedly how they first like triangulated his position in that suite. So it's you have also another thing that was sort of interesting was on the day that the media was filled with reports about the worst mass shooting in American history. By the way, it wasn't.
It wasn't. No, it really wasn't.
It was There was a few older ones that were bigger, right? The stock market continued its relentless march upward with new record highs for the Dow Jones Industrial Average and all the other indices, the S&P and NASDAQ. So Wall Street celebrating in anticipation of the Trump administration pushing through the biggest tax cut for corporate America and the super rich in history. And by the way, the whole week, the market, I didn't look yesterday, but new highs. I mean, the bubble is should burst soon. But what I'm saying here, this didn't have any effect on Wall Street at all, which usually things of this magnitude would have some kind of an effect on Wall Street. I guess, like I was alluding to earlier, that there are tens of billions of dollars, if not more, to be made off this now mass murder through all the different surveillance. And I mean, once you get the hotels in Vegas, which they're already doing, putting people through their, you know, through wands and stuff, they'll have their backscatter machines and they'll shirt off, you know, we'll make all this money and all these people. But where is it going to end is what it comes down to. And it,
when you said that earlier, I thought of an article that I wrote back in, 2006, Disclosures from an Insider. And I listed all of these things that that was a part of a Dr. Day's lecture, and nobody was supposed to take notes. But they were talking about a photo ID would be required by everyone within any hospital, employees, patients, and visitors. And this would happen gradually to facilitate acceptance. And I thought about the flying. People don't fly as much anymore, I think, because it's such a problem going through the line, emptying your pockets, taking your shoes off, all this nonsense, going through the radiation machine. People don't fly as much anymore.
Well, that's what, you know, that's the first thing I thought of when I stumbled upon the Steve Wynn at his hotels out there at the casinos. The very next day we're doing this, and there was 10-minute wait lines to get into his hotel.
Wait,
really? You think that's going to last long?
Who really wants to wait? Yes, people
exactly.
Want to just get in there. And
yes, exactly.
You know, you might have to
fly, but you don't have to go gamble, huh?
Right.
And so, go ahead, what's the interesting thing? You know?
I was in China in 2007, and we didn't have to take off our shoes and do all that nonsense. The security in China was a lot less than the security here in America. We didn't have to check in a water bottle. We didn't have to do any of that nonsense. We just went through the little frame, and that was it. Nothing.
Yeah.
We didn't need to disrobe and all this other nonsense.
Yeah, that, matter of fact, you know, the first time I flew after 9/11 and I knew, I suspected that I was going to get the treatment, and I did. And so did the person that was flying with me, my girlfriend at the time, and it was a business trip out to Los Angeles, and they put us through the ringer. And I could tell that I got tipped off by the when I checked in. Anyway, and why would I want to subject myself to that kind of treatment again? Matter of fact, I literally had to bite my tongue because I was saying, where's our Fourth Amendment again? I was saying this out loud.
Right.
As they went through everything in front of it, just, it was amazing. It just, and it makes you feel so, and of course, you know, as I brought up with my 9/11 stuff, I said, you know, well, you don't have to hit towers with buildings, especially, you know, 7 minutes and 35 seconds before it hit the building, and Flight 11 flew not next to or close to, but directly over the number one terrorist target in the United States, Indian Point nuclear power plant. So why would it extend its mission in the 7.5 minutes when it knew it already got the main thing you can get? It doesn't, you know, I used to tell people we're dealing with benevolent terrorists, which used to, you know, piss people off. But it's, you have, it just, this kind of, and you're right in by saying it's an incremental thing, but now they may, it may be that like a quantum leap that they put forth out of this. And where is it going to stop? It won't stop. It will become, it will be pre-crime when they get, quantum computing. And you will be able to, the thought police will actually not only be for revisionists, Holocaust revisionists, it will be for everyone.
Right. All righty, we're going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
It's getting bad.
Excuse me. Welcome back. This is Deanna. And we've covered a lot of what you wrote. But anyway, Mark R. Elsis has a website, and it's called LasVegasShooting.net. Got some very interesting points that that he's made during the program.
Here is one other, and it comes from a rather reliable person. I haven't doubled down and checked this out, but it's from two different days from this person. And I was alerted about this video by a subscriber whose brother drives a limousine in Las Vegas. He's spoken to several other drivers and bellmen at the Bellagio and Flamingo and other hotels surrounding Mandalay Bay. All reported that their lobbies were shot up last Sunday night.
Right. Yes, I heard that too.
So, yeah, and she, the person that emailed me this said, then other people have told her the same thing. Mm-hmm. And other people in Vegas have contacted me, and there was a lockdown, and so this I find extremely interesting that this is not an event in one place, as we are being told.
Mm-hmm.
This was in multiple locations for what? Not quite sure, but mm-hmm. it sort of reminded me once again of 9/11, how the lobbies were all blown out. And it supposedly went down the shaft or whatever. And it was just an strange thing that, the planes hit so high up, but the lobbies were
decimated. Planes. I don't believe in the planes thing.
Well,
but anyway, that's a different topic.
I'd rather try to stay away from that and go to just who did it every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think we have to look at what happened. But anyway, getting back to Las Vegas shooting, I think it's important too that we don't categorize all these shootings as the same type. I think that you have to look at each shooting independently, individually, because not all of them seem to have the same objectives behind them. This Las Vegas shooting, I think, has very, very globalist, a globalist agenda behind it.
I've looked into a few of them, and as you know privately, I've told you I was going to write Sandy Hook timeline, and I backed off of it. And I know all the heat that you got for what you did. It's and courageous for you to try to bring out the truth and have others not even knowing what you were doing, but yet go against you, which I found rather interesting. The founding fathers said, there's two important quotes I put in, and one of them is, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. That's Benjamin Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one, those who desire to give up freedom in order to gain security will not have, nor do they deserve, either one, Thomas Jefferson. So here are our two founding fathers telling us, look out for what they are about to do. And this incremental police Orwellian surveillance police state that we are already in, I believe will take a major jump here in the next few weeks, months, and couple of years because of this incident. This will be used as I say, mass murder capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have it, and where will it, like I said, where will it end? I don't know. If they get people to wait 10 minutes outside of a hotel to gamble, Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it's going to happen everywhere, every place you go to. How are they going to stop it? You can't stop this. As I said with 9/11, I said, hey, listen, you can go up to the Croton Reservoir, what I ran across in a race, Harry Chapin's race one time, and you can go up there with some very unbelievable agents and just pour it into the New York City reservoir system. Sure. Nobody's gonna see you. Nothing's gonna happen. You never get caught. And yet you'll create the most unbelievable pandemonium in the United States history.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't need to fly planes into buildings to do this. You're never gonna stop it if it's true.
Despite the fact that we're over time.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't hear any music.
What, you want me to start singing?
Still on? No. Oh, please don't. Okay. Well, we are out of time, yes. So
all
thank
right,
you so
you
very,
go.
Very much.
Thank you, Deanna, and bless you. And
bless you
this should be up in the next few days or week.
Great. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you next week.